a long time ago, maybe 10 years ago, I had occasion to travel to Mexico with kind of a educational thing with the Lutheran Church. And when we were in Mexico City, there were maybe eight of us from Canada who had traveled with this little contingent to learn about agriculture and stuff in Mexico. And we were going to Mass at the Catholic Church in this little place on a Saturday night, and they said, "Oh, and you will sing a song." And we went, we were not singers of songs. I mean, anyway, it was kind of a, and so we ended up singing that song. It was this part of the church year. So we stood up to sing it, and there was a musician, a young man playing violin who was studying violin at the university, and we started singing, and we did not sound like you guys today. And it was kind of sad, and I pleaded with my eyes, and he got his violin out, and he played, and it was lovely. So that was cool. So I have memories later, after worship, of him playing, this classically trained Mexican violinist playing his violin, and it echoing through this huge church. It was amazing. Anyway, so we are not alone as we gather as the church today. That just reminded me. Anyway, okay, that was not the sermon. Sorry. Okay. On CBC Radio this past Thursday morning, there was an item about loneliness. Maybe, I know some of you heard it. Maybe you heard that Britain has a government minister responsible now for dealing with loneliness. And there is talk about the same thing happening in Canada, I've heard. So one survey has suggested that 1.4 million seniors in Canada report being lonely. Not just for an hour here or there, or even a day or two or three on occasion, but chronically, day after day. Many saying they haven't had a conversation with a relative or a friend for more than a month. And of course, it's not just seniors. A little more than a quarter of Canadians live alone, and although alone doesn't mean that you're lonely, of course, it's not a stretch to imagine that that might be the case in some cases. If you ever find yourself in a public place with some time to watch people, I bet you have seen lonely people. Not people just on their phones, although we could argue about that, I guess, whether they're lonely or not, but maybe the people on the bus looking out the window, just who feel like maybe they don't have a friend in the world, or maybe a taxi driver who's just trying to get through the day because their partner left yesterday, or maybe a person sitting on a bench in the mall, just glad that they are somewhere where there are people, even if they're not talking to them, they're there at least. We can be lonely in our homes, even if there are partners there. Sometimes that's the way it works. Young and old, healthy and well, addicts and teetotalers, CEOs, street people, Anglicans and Hindus, anyone can be lonely. It's a physical thing, too. Another study has claimed that chronic loneliness has the health equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day. I don't know how you measure that, but that's what I've heard. And Jesus calls two people at a time, and he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Now maybe, just maybe, Jesus doesn't mean follow me and I will send you out to save the world, or follow me and I will make you get more members for your church, but follow me and together we will be part of something bigger. Follow me and you will be gathered together here and maybe with Christians around the world in Mexico or other places. You will join me in drawing people together instead of leaving them to fend for themselves. Follow me, and you will not be alone. If you noticed in the gospel, Jesus did not call one person at a time. He called Peter and Andrew, then he called James and John. Martha and Mary are among his closest followers. In a company of people, he raises a sick woman up to health. At some other point, he forgives and heals a young man who has just been lowered through the roof by his friends. He feeds in groups. Even here, he calls us in baptism and gathers us together, together. From the very beginning, Jesus lives among people and calls people together. Follow me, and I will make you together fish for people. Of course, we don't always get it right. We know that. We know that part of the story. There are all sorts of criticisms of us fishers of people, and we've heard them often. Sometimes we're too picky about who belongs in the net. Sometimes we've judged or ignored people with whom we don't agree. Sometimes we've walked away from those who we decided were failing by some standard or other. We have left people on the sidelines who have different traditions, or we have told them with effort that they could almost be like us. We've done all sorts of things. And at the same time, I bet that any number of us have likely sometimes been ones who were judged ourselves or left behind ourselves. And I know, too, that at least some of the people who have found themselves in that position don't bother too much with the church anymore. I've talked to them. But at the heart of our life together, all of us together here, nonetheless, is something that speaks more strongly than all of that. Week after week, we sing together and we pray together. We share the peace. It's a moment of heartfelt handing on of the good that we have experienced from God. It might be capped by a handshake or a hug, or in some cultures, even a kiss of peace on the cheek. In liturgy, even the lonely and shy are able to speak together. The shyest among us are able to voice things. We confess our sin together every week as we celebrate the Eucharist, and just as sure as we are that we have failed, everyone else is sure that they have as well. And so in a way, none of us are alone in that way. When God's word of forgiveness is spoken, all of us, the hearers and the speaker, are forgiven together. And forgiveness draws us all on together, carrying on our life in God, seeing where we go. When we come here, we eat at a table together with each other and with all the saints. For a moment, at least, we catch a glimpse and a taste of being gathered up all together and God calling us together out of the human experience of isolation, of loneliness, if you want. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fish for people. And with that simple call to follow, Jesus has fished for us, wrapped us up in that net, and caught us and drawn us together in some way. It's, of course, not just about being alone, that gospel. Perhaps you've heard about a time in the 80s in Leipzig when what was then East Germany under communist rule, when things started to happen. People began to come downtown to a church that happened to be St. Nicholas Lutheran Church to talk politics and to pray. And they came together every Monday without fail. They talked about change and they dreamt of what could be. The crowds had grown throughout the year, and on October the 9th, 1989, somewhere around 8,000 people gathered in that church on a Monday evening. And when they left the building that night, they joined a crowd of 100,000 others to make peaceful demands for change. The secret police couldn't stop them, and they didn't fear the thousands of riot police that were there, and a few weeks later, the Berlin Wall came down. The borders opened, and it was done. Now, after that, some people said that the politicians had done it, maybe Reagan or Gorbachev, and maybe they had a part, but in a sense, it wasn't the politicians. It was the people. The people gathered together, a few people who met in a church in the early 80s, just like people were meeting in other churches and community centers and houses and anywhere people gather, and they talked about change. They came together and their voices couldn't be silenced and the world changed. Now God calls us. All of them might not have thought they were listening to God, but God calls us. Follow me and I will make you fish for people. However many, I think it must be 50 years ago or more, segregation in the United States began to end partly because in Martin Luther King Jr., the movement had found a voice. But it changed also because he was one of millions who spoke and acted together. Reconciliation between First Nations and settlers won't be brought on by one person or one prime minister's protest or apology, but it will happen as lots of us act together. Violence against women won't end because one woman tweeted and this movement has started. It will change because women and men have spoken and acted and will speak and act together. And the churches will not unite because one pastor or pope or bishop says so. It will happen because different people from different churches come together to do whatever, cook soup, or listen and pray, or work to empower people, or gather to meditate, or teach their youth and elders the stories again and again of our faith and learn how to be active in our world. Or they worship one more time tonight, this week of prayer for Christian unity. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fish for people. You are not called to be alone. We are not called to be alone. It's interesting to think about where all this calling and this acting together and this praying and confessing will lead our world. The fact is, there are lots of places that we as people, as a world, need to go, plenty of ideas that we as a church need to consider, plenty of realities on which I think we could agree God calls all of us to work. Yesterday we were at a PWRDF meeting in our basement, the Primates World Relief and Development Fund, and Kathy Campbell, after this long, long meeting, said something, or it wasn't that long, but anyway, I didn't say that. She said, after just the brief prayer, we have a gracious and generous God who calls us and gives us the Spirit for the lives we are to live. And I think that is the crux of the matter. We have a gracious and generous God. We have a Jesus who has come and lived among us and called us. We have the Spirit which gives us vision and hope and strength for all those things that our world needs to be. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fish for people. A net is cast wide, and it brings together so many, not in this case for the fish, but for the life. It brings together little handfuls of people in communities of faith. It pulls together thousands of people whose inspiration draws on that of their neighbors, where speaking and acting changes the world around them. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fish for people, for I have already fished for you and gathered you together. And in our lives, we wait to see where we fishing people will go. Amen.